This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Let your grace be unmistakable, and let your glory be palpable. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, world without end. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Maybe you say that in God's presence. I don't know if my friend and brother, Pastor Ame, is in the house. We spoke earlier in the day, and I hope that he might be here. Are you here, sir? All right, maybe not yet. Are you here? I can't see very well because the light is directly in my face. All right. It's a pleasure, it's a joy to be here this weekend as we attempt to behold the face of God together and as we trust Him for the feedback that is consistent with the fount of eternity. A feedback that is consistent with He who is the locus of immortality. This evening, the hand of the Lord will be recruiting men and women for the high callings of their lives and of their destinies. And that recruitment will lead to a positioning by grace in particular places and postures in the spirit, so that people will be able to investigate the nature, the principles, the protocols of their callings, of their uniqueness, and by so exploring that they might be able to bring practical compliance so that possibilities can proceed. A lot of potentials, a lot of possibilities are before me on site, online, but activation is usually very critical. And sometimes when God does not give you clarity with regards to the details, the processes, the protocols, the tendency to misuse or to mismanage or to underuse or to abuse, just any kind of maluse of precious resources is very high. So we'll take a little bit of time this evening to do a little bit of Bible study. And then we trust the Lord to bring effect. But I'd like for you to realize that a whole lot will happen before we would have finished the Bible study. So please, don't altogether postpone your expectation to after the Bible study. I want us to begin this evening from Hebrews Hebrews chapter 13.
beam dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth.
Verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, that is outside of the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, verses 9 and 10 will form the focal point of our journey tonight. Don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. This evening, I would like for you to write it across the ledger of your heart, if you are a believer, that we have an altar. Can you say that after me? We have an altar. One more time, we have an altar. The final time for now, we have an altar. Now, one of the profound things about this is the fact that this is written to New Testament believers. And if you take a very simplistic approach to your understanding of scripture, you may fall into the temptation to unnecessarily bifurcate between the Old and the New Testament in such a way that you might be in a position where you dismiss the practices that are captured in the Old Testament in the light of the fact that the transition into the new was successfully carried out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the blessed Holy Spirit. And while it is true that a lot of the activities that mark the Old Testament are not supposed to be the practice of the New Testament believer, it is important for us to understand how that actually plays out in reality. The reason is this. The passage that we just read is making a kind of comparison, at least. And the thing that I made you say three times says that we have an altar. And the distinction there is we as opposed to they. And the they or the them is what? The men and women under the Old Testament, and with particular reference to the sons and the sons of Levi, the descendants of Levi, to whom the priesthood had fallen in the days of Moses, so that by the decree of God and by the supernatural commendation and affirmation of the Lord, when Aaron's rod had budded after being placed alongside the rods of the representatives of the other 11 tribes before the presence of the Lord. By the next morning, Aaron's rod had budded, and that was proof positive that he it was, and by extension, the tribe of Levi, it was that God had ordained to the priesthood under that Mosaic arrangement. So when the Bible says that we have an altar, he is making a comparison, or it is a distinction between the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And I'd like for you to put a very mighty stress on the simple word we. This we here is to call your attention to a difference, a significant difference between us and them. So the Bible says that we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. So the men and people that serve the tabernacle in context is referring to whom? The sons of Aaron. Is referring to the Aaronic priesthood. So what the Bible is saying is that the people that were priests under the Mosaic arrangement, if that is the only right, if that is the only legitimacy that they want to bring to the table, they have no right to participate with us in the thing that we now participate in. And what is it? The Bible says we have an altar. In the days of Moses, when the tabernacle was to be built, remember in Exodus chapter 25, right? Exodus chapter 25, God is brought Moses up into the mountain, and then God tells Moses, when you go down to Israel, I'd like for you to collect me an offering. And God begins to give Moses a list. There was an itemization of the things that Moses was supposed to receive of the children of Israel, beginning from gold and then to silver and then to bronze, all right? And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. Let's read on. We're going to read all the way to about verse 8. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, all right? And ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood. Let's go on. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Onyx stone and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me what? A sanctuary. Why? That I may dwell where? Among them. There's a temptation to think that the tabernacle that God allowed Moses to construct, and later on the temple that replaced the tabernacle, which was basically a prototype of the tabernacle, but now it had it was built as a fixed structure. The tabernacle was built to be a mobile facility because it belonged to Israel in the days of their Exodus as they wandered through the wilderness from Egypt all the way to the promised land. So the temple that was built eventually by Solomon and the second temple is basically the concretization, all right? Is the fixing of that thing that was mobile. So the tabernacle and the temple basically serve the same purpose, and the principle were the same. When God was saying for them to build him a tabernacle, I needed to note something here. God says, the reason I needed to build me this sanctuary or this tabernacle is that I may dwell among them. God's intention from the beginning, from the very, very beginning, has been the same. It is that God wants to be in close proximity, and not just proximity. God wants to be in close relationship. God wants to be in close contact with his human creatures. This was the design from Genesis. And that journey from Genesis is a very long journey. One that I believe that you quite understand. It was the reason why God made man a spirit, soul, and body. So that with the spirit of man, man is able to contact God. Man is able to connect God. Are you there? Are you there? And then, if you like, man eventually is able to conduct God. And by conducting, I mean the action of a wire that conveys electricity.
Man is supposed to be able to contact God. Man is able, is supposed to be able to connect with God. And man is able to be, man is supposed to be able to convey or to conduct his majesty. In order for man to be sufficient for such a lofty ideal, what God did was to make man of various components. You know the story. So man is spirit, soul, and body. Sometimes people say man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Have you heard that before? Now, on a good day, that's fine. I don't have a problem. But it's not altogether accurate. Man is not a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Man is spirit. Man is soul. Man is body. Are you with me? The reason is not because we are trying to find fault. It's not because we are trying to nitpick. It's not because we are trying to be pedantic. It is because we've noticed over the past couple of years that these kinds of excusable formulation can be hijacked by people that have bad intentions in order to push terrible, deadly heresies within the body of Christ. So when somebody says that man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body, he's essentially decided to denigrate the soul and the body as not being important constituent of the entity that is called man. And insofar as you see only your spirit to be what is man, and your soul is just one facility, and then your body is just a cage, it's just a case. Some people just say your body is just a container. You are a spirit having a human experience or earthly experience. They say all kinds of sweet nonsense. But it is not altogether accurate. You are not a spirit that is having a human experience or that is having an earthly experience. That's not what you are. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." What did he form of the dust of the ground? What did he form? Not case for man. He formed man of the dust of the ground. So by the time God was done forming it, when you say, "Sir, what did you just form?" He will say, "This is man." Because the scripture says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." And what? Man became a living soul. Not the case, not the container. Man. At the time that it was called man, it was actually lifeless. The thing God formed on the ground. What is that? God said, "I just formed man." That is man that is formed. Are you with me? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Verse 26, 27, 26. "And the Lord God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion." Are you with me this evening? Are you still here? All right. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God did what? God did what? Created what? Man. In verse 26, what did God say? God said, "Let us make man." In verse 27, the Bible says, "So God created," even though the expressed intent of God in verse 26 is to what? To make. What God did in verse 27 was to what? To create. Because the created man is spirit. The formed man is what? Is body. When God said, "Let us make man," I'm simply saying that in God's quest to fulfill that simple objective, there were processes because there were different components to the man. Hello. Hello. When you study biology, for instance, sometimes they will tell you that human beings and apes and baboons, our relatives. And they will do the mathematics and do the genetics and do the calculation. And they will tell you the similarity between the genetic code of man and that of the ape or that of the baboon. And they will tell you it's 90-something percent. That, you know, we're 90-something percent similar. Have you heard those kinds of stories before? Now, my point, I'm not worried by that kind of story as a Christian. I don't care whether it is true or false as a believer. Are you with me? It has no bearing on my faith. If it is true, I can see why it is true. You know why? Because it is called common material. Common material. Not common ancestry. Common material. If my body was formed from the ground and the ape was also formed from the ground, if God used the same material to form my body as what was used to form the body of the ape, I will not be surprised if our bodies are similar, because they were formed out of the same kind of material. Are you with me? But the thing is that with the human person, God did not only form the human person. God did not only say, earth, bring forth humanity. No, God formed man. But then God also created man. Are you with me? Are you with me? Can we do this Bible study for like 10 minutes before? What I'm trying to show you tonight is priesthood. But you may not understand priesthood if you don't understand man. So stay with me for a moment. What God did in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 is to create. And creation is God's activity in virtue of your spirit. That's why, even in the New Testament, when people talk, even the people that go off the rack every now and again, they will talk to you about the recreated human spirit. Why do they always say recreated human spirit and not the recreated body? It's because creation is the focus of creation is spirit. So when you die spiritually, in order for you to come alive spiritually, it is called to recreate. Because what God did before was what? To create. When that thing was compromised and it died spiritually. So when God wants to do it again, what do we call it? Is to recreate. That's why the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. So even though God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, when God began that project of making man, we realized that it was a staggered process. Staggered. That means it wasn't achieved in one step. First step was creation. And the Bible says, look at what happened at creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, what did he say to them? Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And then do what? Have dominion. Do you realize that everything you're reading from verse 27 all the way to verse 28 is applicable to them? Who are the them? Who are the them? Male and female. Because male and female created he them. So that in virtue of creation, male and female are exactly the same. There's no difference in virtue of creation. That is why a recreated human spirit is a recreated human spirit. Whether it be male or female is irrelevant, because it has to do with the spirit. And what God created at the beginning is the spirit, and that is what can be recreated when one bows the knee. But you notice that with respect to formation, which is what you see in Genesis chapter 2, God did not form them male and female. Hello? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Are you there? This is why people used to say that the reason why Eve compromised was because Eve was not there when God gave instructions to Adam regarding the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they quickly forgot how it was so. The reason it was so is because with regards to formation, God staggered between male and female. So the male man was formed. Are you with me? Let me compress it for you. So in Genesis chapter 2, when God formed a male man, God now introduced what he created into what he formed. Are you there? God put what he formed into what he created. What he formed was called man. What he created was also called man. Because your spirit is man, your soul is man. That's why they use, each of them can be used to represent you. The soul that sinned, it shall die. That just basically means the man that sins will die. Are you with me? Are you with me? So what God formed in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, what God created, I mean, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, was the male one of that creative enterprise was what God introduced into what he formed in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And then that male man now finally had legitimacy to show up on the earth. Are you with me? To become physicalized, because now he has a body, something that is sourced from the earth, from the ground. And because of that, you have legitimacy to walk this earth. In fact, I was telling them in Jos, I think a few days ago, or I can't remember, on Tuesday or the other Tuesday, that wherever the part of your body, your constitution is sourced from, that is where it is sustained by. Your spirit is sourced from the world of spirit. It is the world of spirit that sustains your spirit. Your body is sourced from the ground. It is the ground that sustains your body. That's why the food that your body eats is this ground that feeds your body. But this ground cannot feed your spirit because your spirit was not sourced from it. Are you with me? And that is why no matter how spiritual you are, you will still need physical food. Because that one also cannot feed your mortal body. It wasn't designed to be so. Every time that God actualizes anything like that, that is a miracle. That's not natural. That's not the norm. The norm is that wherever anything is sourced from, that is where it is sustained by. Are you here? Are you here? So the body of man was sourced from the ground. And in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God now introduced into what he formed, what he had created. So man became a living soul on the earth. But the issue is, when God created, what did he create? Male and female. Yet, as at Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, you don't see the female. All the way to verse 18, God is dealing with only the male. So the question is, where is the female that he created long time ago? The female has not showed up in this equation because the female does not yet have the formed component of her constitution. It was in chapter 2, later in verse 18, that God said, it is not good that the man be alone. I will make for him a help that is suitable for him. God put the man to sleep. He didn't take spirit out of man. What did he take from the man? He took a rib. Are you with me? He took something physical from the man. And when he took that thing physical from the man, he used it to mold the woman and then introduced into the woman the thing that was created. Are you there? So it was later on in verse 22, thereabout, that Eve finally woke up to the reality of life on the earth. So in virtue of your body, in virtue of your body, you have legitimacy to walk this earth. Nobody can see you going and say, hey, what are you doing in the world? No. You know why? There is something, your passport to exist in this world is your body. So all those people that used to say, you know, your ancestors that died, they are the ones ruling your community. It's not true. When a man dies, the Bible says he has neither part nor portion nor lot in the land of the living. It is appointed unto man to die but once. And after that is what? Judgment. There is no intermediate world of supervisory entities that left the earth who supervise the activity of the community out of which they came. So the thing that you call ancestral spirits, ancestral deeds that are monitoring your family and the, you know, the ancestors are not happy. Can I tell you the truth? It is demons masquerading as your ancestors. The day the person died, that your ancestor died, the day they died, from that day, they started facing the music. God didn't leave them in limbo to say, well, I know you don't have a body, but you can still be supervising what is happening on earth. It's not so. It is familiar spirits that are masquerading as your dead ancestors. Therefore, if a man dies, scripture says he has no part. You know why? Because the thing that gives you legitimacy on the earth is your body. If you no longer have it, you are a trespasser here. Are you with me? This was the reason why as a teenager, I didn't used to give face to. We are very deadly masquerades where I come from. I was born and bred in a village. And because it's a village, it's a village. So all of the normal features of village life in pre-internet day Nigeria were the reality within which I grew. One of those such realities is masquerade. We are a very surplus supply of masquerades where I came from. And masquerades are generally believed to be the spirits of the ancestors. Are you with me? So I used to tell them that you should be happy that I'm allowing you to walk on our street. You can't come from that place and come to this place and intimidate me. We are the landlords here. You are the one who is trespassing. How can you be trespassing and still be bullying me? You should be thanking me for allowing you space to walk here. Because if you are truly the ghost of dead people, you should be grateful that we are allowing you space in our midst. Because the thing that entitled you to walk here, you lost it already. I didn't used to fear masquerade. I was a teenager. See, Bible knowledge is good. So those days, as secondary school boys, one of the times I remember that one particularly, we're going for those village outreaches we used to do. There are masquerades in my place that women don't see. If you are a female, you cannot behold them. Any day they are coming out, they make announcement in the village, all the women must go into hiding. We're coming into that village to do evangelism, and we're not aware. And we are sisters in our midst. Everywhere was deserted. It's a terrible, of course, you know that those things are demonically empowered. Hello? It's not just costume, as in if it's proper masquerade. If it is proper masquerade, it's not just costume. Demons have hand in it. Hello? Hello? I know a few things about those things because I was not born again. I was not born again. So I know a few things. By the privilege of my upbringing, I grew up with my granddad. My granddad was a strong man in our nation. All right? So, actually, my granddad was the custodian of one of the 9 masquerades of the Gala land, of the Gala kingdom. At that time, he's late now. Because he was older brother to the ruling Ata of Igala at the time. So, one of the masquerades was under his custody. And I tell you the things I know, you will not believe it. That thing is not just costume. Demons have a hand in it. Even we that used to know the way they used to do the thing, by the time they are finished doing it and you see the masquerade, you don't know him more. Don't think you know the person. Because even the person doesn't know you like that. He's under an influence. Have you seen a drunk person before? This one is a controlled influence, but it's an influence that is beyond him. I have seen people that ordinarily cannot walk straight because of old age. I have seen them enter into costume, and a motorbike cannot speed so much that they can't catch it. Huh? If that man sets his gaze on a motorbike that is trying to run, he will run after the bike and catch it with his hand like this and draw it. And normally, that one that I'm talking about, that I used to talk, it's not every masquerade that talks. If you carry, they used to call carry, if you carry masquerade, there's a particular masquerade that by nature never can talk. Those people that used to carry it, part of the fringe benefit is that one of your children will be dumb. Yes, you will. Somewhere along the line, somebody will. You can't serve God for nothing. You can't serve Satan for nothing. So we know that it is not just costume, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I remember on that day we were coming, and then this masquerade and the band of men around it. Those are serious, serious demonic things. That masquerade, the masquerade is a combined thing. It's a masquerade and it's a shrine. There is a whole arrangement on its head. A shrine, the mask on the head is a shrine. That's where they used to spill blood. When they kill animals, they pour it. There's a full-blown shrine on its head. And we're coming with our sisters. They were coming. We were coming. And the guys around the masquerade were shouting and trying to intimidate us. I said, these people don't understand. We are the ones that should be sending them back to where they are coming from. We were teenagers in secondary school. So I'm not just telling you stories tonight. I'm telling you that Bible knowledge, if you know who you are by the word. How much did I even know in secondary school? But I knew enough to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That was my own spiritual mathematics that time. I said, if the earth belongs to the Lord and he has given me power to become the son of God, it means that the earth is my father's property because I'm his son and the earth is the Lord's. So how can you be on my father's property and now be intimidating me? It cannot happen. It was not this Genesis thing I was using that time. I was just simply using the fact that I'm a child of God and the earth is the Lord's. That's how we kept going and going and going and going. Believe me, I tell you the truth. I lie not. We're on a collision course. You know, it's village road, though. It's not highway. It's not dual carriage. Huh? It's not even single carriage. Is earth is brown right. There's no those places that government only used to remember during election. They go there to harvest votes. Is village. So it wasn't a broad road, and we're not going to shift so that the thing will pass. We're coming, they were coming. It was going to be a head-on collision. The masquerade did everything to intimidate us. The people around him were shouting and chanting. We carried our kaya on our head because nobody even used to know that we are coming. Those places used to be far. We didn't have time to go and do survey before we go for outreach because who has the energy to trek 6 hours to go and see the village and come back before we now trek 6 hours to go and do outreach? So we just used to pack everything. Our food would be in food flasks, the one that we are going to use to breakfast when we arrived there that day. We cook that one from home. And so we have food flask of food. Then we have backpack of change of raiment. And we used to wear slippers because the roads are terrible. One slippers for one outreach. That's how we used to do it. When you go and come back, the slippers is dead. If he makes it back home, it's dead. So we were not very mobile like that. We're laden. But it's a spiritual something. You see, when we almost got close to having a head-on collision, it was the masquerade and his people that shifted, that took a detour and went by the side. And we were gone. We did as if we're not even aware that they existed. Because if it is body-wise, I am legitimized to do business here. And if it is spirit-wise, I'm also legitimized to do business there. You know why? I also have a spirit. Because of my spirit, no spirit can say I'm trespassing when they catch me in the world of spirits. What gives me legitimacy to do business in the world of spirit is the fact that I have a spirit. What gives me legitimacy to do business in this world, physical world, is the fact that I have a body. Are you with me? So because God wanted to be able to interface with man, because herein lies the foundation of man's priesthood. The priesthood of man is the fact that man is that creature of God uniquely designed like a cosmic amphibian. You know an amphibian? Those creatures that can live both in water and on land, all right? Like frogs and toads at different stages. They can survive normally in water bodies. And when they come on land, they are also fine. Those are amphibians. Man is a sort of an amphibian. You were designed for two worlds. There is a world that you were designed to govern. Are you with me? And there is a world from which your legitimacy comes. So by your spirit, you are able to connect God, to contact God, and you're able to convey God. If you want to know the posture of the heavens concerning the earth, you cannot know that from the earth. The place to find that out is from the heavens. And your body cannot go into the heavens. It is by your spirit that you penetrate the membrane of reality and cross from this dimension into that dimension. And then when you come back from that exploration, because you have a body, you can now say, you know, according to the shape of things in the realm, this thing is out of order. This is not how we saw it there. So when you now come, you can use your physical hand and move it to where it's supposed to be. You are doing that from the standpoint of your ability to see things in the realm of real reality. This world is supposed to mirror another. And if you do not have capacity to straddle those two worlds, that was part of what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. That's how Adam could no longer bring the fullness of the authority of God as God's regent over the universe. Because the place from which Adam's authority and legitimacy was sourced was not natural. It was in the realm of spirit. When Adam died spiritually, he had lost contact with his corresponding reality in the other realm. And because he had lost contact in that world, this world now rebelled against him. It was like now saying, who made you judge over us? And Adam had no answer because he had lost connection with the legitimizing possibilities that were in that realm. Because God said to him that in the day that you eat, you will surely die. That death happened instantly in his spirit. And then it happened gradually and in installment in every way else until the culmination of that death was now physical death. The immediate thing that happened was separation from God. And the moment he became separated from God, he had become separated from his source of authority and legitimacy. So every time that they say the spiritual controls the physical, yes, it is true. But I'm trying to say to you that your spirit is as important as your body. Are you with me? Jesus died to save you spirit, soul, and body. Are you there? Jesus died to save you spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is saved. If you are a believer, it is called regeneration. Your soul is being saved. It is called transformation. Your body will be saved. It is called glorification. God's salvation package for you is holistic. That's why Paul, praying for the Thessalonians in chapter 5 verse 23, said, and I pray God to sanctify you wholly, And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. So you are not just a spirit who has a soul that lives in the body. You are spirit, soul, and body. Because in order for God to have man, eventually fully functional man, God had to create, God had to form. And it was a measure of the thing created and the thing formed that sparked what you now call the soul. So that the soul is the gateway between the spirit and the body. And that's why when a man is spiritually dead, the soul assumes that role of authority. Because that's the next thing as you go inward. From the body to the soul, from the soul to the spirit. That is the same way that stimuli is transmitted. And that's the same way that stimuli is received. There are times that when God speaks to you, it's as if you hear an audible voice. I need you to know that the first point of call of whatever that voice is was not your ears. It was your spirit. Your spirit has ears. But there's an amplification that can happen so much that it feels like it is your natural ears with which you hear what you hear. And because God is sovereign over your spirit, soul, and body, there are times that God manipulates your natural emotions and senses in order to give you signals that have correspondences in the spirit. That was what I was trying to explain before I veered off into all of this. Is to explain to you the fact of correspondences. That there are things in the Old Testament that we no longer do, but there are things that we do as the replacement of the things we no longer do. Are you with me? So again, we have an altar. So the way to explain that is that even though we no longer have altars, we have an altar. Do you understand that now? Uh-huh. That there are things we no longer do, but there are things that we do as a replacement for the things that we no longer do. Let me see. Ew. All right, we need to start this Bible study. I was just trying to make some definitional clarifications so that you'll understand the Bible study when we start. This is Christianity 101. Just a little expose into who you are. Your body is as important as your soul, as important as your spirit. Jesus died to save you spirit, soul, and body. That's why the Bible says to present your bodies, as a living sacrifice. Not just your spirit, your body. As a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. So Paul said, therefore glorify God with your spirit and your body, which are God's. That means they belong to God. Glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. That means they belong to God. It doesn't mean that your spirit and your body are God. Because those people that used to see Rema under moonlight, they have come around to tell people that you are God, you are God. Hallelujah. Some say you are Christ. You are not Christ. Sorry. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And afterward, to have entered into his glory. Did you suffer those things? There's a criteria for identifying the Christ. Bethlehem, even though you are small, you are not the least of my people. For out of thee shall arise the governor whose goings has been from of old.
Judah, you are the one that your brethren will praise. For the scepter will not depart, nor the lawgiver, until Shiloh come. There is over 200 separate prophecies that need to converge in the life of one person before we can say that's the Christ. The problem with some of us is that the thing that God says we are, we don't understand it, we don't know it. The one God says you are not, that's the one you are carrying on your head. It's like that time I saw people, they want to be in four different locations at the same time. Trilocate, bilocate, forlocate, and levitate. You are not Leviathan. Leave. Meanwhile, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The ones that are written clearly, that they will follow the people that believe. You are not interested. It's the one that does not concern you. That's the one you are fasting for, you are praying for. That's why, you know, the psalmist, they said in Psalm 74, they say, we see no more our signs. There's something called our signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. So is this quest for the unpromised, that is the reason why many people are wasting their spiritual disciplines. They are praying into a vacuum. Because the thing you are looking for does not exist. It's not that God cannot give it to you. It's not promised. There's something called our signs. And the men in the days of the psalmist, they were frank enough. They say, we see no more our signs. There's neither any prophet, neither is there any among us that knows how long. How long, oh God? So there is something they promised you. Huh? Focus on it. And then let God, in the generosity of his sovereignty, let him give you the extras at his discretion that were not promised. Philip was taken and he was found in Azotus, isn't it? Yes. So if God wants to, God can make you disappear in one place and appear in another place. But is there anywhere in the Bible that God promised it? You see, the Bible does not prescribe everything it describes. Are you with me? The Bible does not prescribe everything that it describes. Peter walked on water. Fine. But it is not a commitment of Jesus to us. There's nowhere that it is written, go and do likewise. The thing that Jesus promised us are clear. These ones will follow them that believe in my name. And when you now saw in the Acts of the Apostles, you will see that they stayed with him. They actively engaged the things that Jesus promised. They say, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant that thy servant with all boldness might preach thy word. How? By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. The thing they demanded in prayer was the thing that was promised by the master. They say, grant. He say, grant. They say, give us a grant. God say, what do you want? This is by stretching forth your hand that signs and wonders might be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. Eventually you will hear that the Bible says God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. Stay with what is promised. And let God use his discretion with regards to the things that are discretionary. Are you with me? Keep the major thing major.
Keep the minor things minor. Seek after the things that are promised. While you, if you like, you can fantasize about the things that are not promised. But don't blow your energies there. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you are a man. And as a man, you are spirit, you are soul, you are body. And it is only the wisdom of God that could have come up with such an arrangement. This is why it is possible for you to be truly, truly, truly a priest. Because a priest is someone that has not just clearance, but competence. Not just competence, but clearance. A priest is someone that has altar clearance and altar competences. Altar what? Clearance. And altar what? Competences. Do I say have you? Do I say have you? Give me attention for another 15 minutes because we'll soon be there. Listen to me. As a human being, this your body entitles you to keep walking on this earth. Your spirit is what gives you the privilege to be able to invest the space within which your body occupies and the territory within which you traverse, to be able to invest it with something that is stronger than nature, to be able to bring the supernatural to bear. If you are going to be able to execute the will of the invisible, unseeable God of the universe, you need to have expertise in the world that is native to that God. Are you with me? And the Bible says God is spirit. God is what? Spirit. So because God is spirit, because God is spirit, you need spirit. You need your spirit to be able to engage God. But the place that God has given you dominion over is natural, is physical. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every creeping thing, over every cattle and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. The place where your dominion is supposed to be exercised is physical. But the place where your authority to exercise that dominion comes from is spiritual. Are you with me? Therefore, God made you as a curious entity that has components that are spirit-oriented and components that are naturally oriented. So when he brings that together, you are a kind of a composite. And this composite can be here and there at the same time. Are you with me? Like I'm standing here now. I am here. But this is not the only place that I am. I'm also there. And I'm watching. And I'm waiting. The reality that I see there is what will determine the transitions that we make here. And the beautiful thing is that the distance between the natural and the spiritual is not a geometric distance. It's not a geographical distance. It's not a physical distance. It's a dimensional distance. That means that to be in the spirit, you don't need transport fare. Are you with me? You don't need recharge card. You don't need data. You don't need a smartphone. With matters of spirituality, we all stand on equal ground. Nobody has any special advantage over the other. If you are born again, you are spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is now alive, recreated in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Your soul should be undergoing transformation, and your body is awaiting glorification. And while we await the day of the glorification of our body, God has a little cheat code. I used to call it cheat code. God has a little cheat code because the thing God procured for your body will not be delivered to you fully until you die. That is when mortality will be swallowed up in immortality. The destiny of your human body is glorification. It's to have the kind of body that Jesus had post-resurrection. So he is the firstborn from the dead. That means he's the first fruit from the dead. That means that he's the sample of what resurrected sons and daughters of God are going to look like. That body is a body nonetheless. But is a body that has not been glorified. That body cannot fall sick. Germs and viruses cannot attack and affect that body. But while we are waiting for the glorification of our body, there is a cheat code that God builds into life so that this body will be able to cooperate with our souls and our spirit for as long as we need to be here to be able to execute the destiny that is allocated to each of us. So even though we live in a broken world, that cheat code sometimes comes in the form of healing. That cheat code sometimes comes in the form of supernatural divine health. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not his benefit. He forgives thy sins. Are you with me? But that's not the only thing he does. He heals thy infirmities, thy sicknesses, and he renews your youth as that of the eagles. That is the cheat code. Because God cannot really, really fully do what is the destiny of your body while you are in this broken world. So what God does is God rigged the system. The same way they rigged. God rigged that system. He rigged the system so that the system does not become as powerful as it otherwise could have been. The way they rig that system is that you will enjoy healing. Occasional healing will come when things happen and your body is compromised. Then he told Paul, for instance, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness, so that you become a parable. They say, how can somebody be exerting so much like this and yet he keeps going? Even though our outward man perishes, there's something, there's a life on the inside. Alright? So that day by day, we enjoy a kind of rejuvenation. So that the things that we have gone through, as some people used to say, we don't look like what we have been through. The cheat code is grace. And the way it manifests many times is health. Sometimes it is healing. Sometimes it is strength to your mortal body. But the real thing that is waiting for this, your body, is glorification. While we are waiting for that day, so that you will not fail before you are done. So that you will not finish, you will not expire before your work is done. What they did for Jesus, they will do for you many times. Sometimes angels came and strengthened him. Are you with me? Are you with me? Until the hour of darkness came, until his time to go to heaven came. When he was about to faint and finish, angels came. They brought supply. And then his body adjusted. It's called a miracle. It's a cheat code. So that way, this body, even though it's waning in strength, it will not fail you until you are finished with everything God ordained for you to do. You will know pain, but you will pass. You will know affliction. You will know adversity. Somehow, you will succeed. The songwriter says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. So God has a plan for your body, God has a plan for your soul, and God has a plan for your spirit, because you need all three of them to be the person that God wants you to be on the face of the earth. What you see by the exercise of your spirit, many times you will need the support of your body to be able to execute it. It's like saying, if I know that this thing is not supposed to be here, I know it. The only way I'm going to be able to move it from here to there, even though I know it in my mind, it's not my mind that will move it. Hello? I will need my physical hand to have ability to grab and to bear and to carry and to remove it from that place and drop it here. That way now I have executed with my hand what I have purposed with my mind. Are you there? In the same way, you need a component that is physicalized in order to be able to bring effect, in order to be able to bring completion to the circuit of the things that your spirit indicts. So when you see things in the realm, sometimes all that is required might just be prayer. But I need you to know that you cannot send your body on break and then pray with your spirit. It doesn't work that way. That's why you heard Jesus say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you will need to be able to find a way to surmount the weaknesses and the infirmity of the flesh so that you can, with the cooperation of the body, you can now bring actualization to the thing that the spirit has already picked up in that world. So, your priesthood constitutes in that ability to be able to straddle two worlds, because that's naturally what a priest does. A priest is the one, I come from the village, like you would have heard now. So, we have priests, but priests after a different order. Hello? I know those priests. Now, when those days, sometimes, if somebody wants to take an important move, he will go and consult. And when you come to consult the oracle, there's a priest there. That priest will check for you. Now, the question is this. Why do people go to consult the priest? Why can't they check it by themselves? You know why? Because they believe, rightly or wrongly, that this priest has expertise in a world where they are novices. And they happen to believe that that world is superior to this one. So that the world that controls this one, which is superior to this one, is a world in which they are novices, but the priest is a veteran. They may understand economics more than the priest. Are you with me? They may understand the art of looting more than the priest. Many of the people that you have elected, governor, senator, whatever, you know, sometimes president, many of them, they depend on the services of people that have never been to school physically, naturally, all right? In order to be able to talk with the reckless abandon with which they talk. That confidence is manufactured in the nether part of hell. But the way that confidence is imbued on them, it's not by their own personal expertise. They depend on the expertise of somebody you will never see. In order to come out in public and say the things they say with such reckless arrogance, there's a Baba somewhere. Probably never been to the four walls of a primary school, let alone a secondary school. But that Baba controls their life. Forget what you see, all the big man is in the form in public. There's a priest somewhere. You know why? Because that priest has access and expertise in the superior world of spirit. And tonight is not the time when I teach you the geography of the spirit, spiritual geography, because it is straddled across three layers. There's the earth. Then this ground, when you look up now, you see the sky. In Bible language, the thing you see when you look up is called heaven, where the starry hosts are. The physical atmosphere that you see above you is called heaven. But then there's something called the second heaven. The second heaven is not a geographical distance. By the second heaven, you have entered into the world of spirit. It's a dimensional distance. But it is the taxonomy is such that it is a continuation from the physical in the taxonomy. But by nature, it's not a physical reality. It's a spiritual reality. Then above that heaven, that is now the second heaven, is the third heaven. So when that man was telling that, hey, how can you say God lives in heaven? God does not live in heaven, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Which heaven? Which heaven did the Bible refer to in Genesis 1:1? When it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. With heaven. That's the first question. Because there are three heavens, at least identified in scripture. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is risen above all heavens. If you are looking at all heavens, they cannot even be two. If it is two, it will be both. It's simple grammar. You can't use all for two things. You can't use all for one thing. Hello? You cannot say all my eyes are paining me. You see? Now you get it, isn't it? You know why? Because you have only two eyes. You don't use all if what you have is only two. In order to use all, you must have at least three. The Bible says Jesus is ascended above all heavens. So which of them is Genesis 1:1 referring to? So before you come and tell us that God does not live in heaven, because God created the heaven in Genesis chapter 1. If God lives in heaven, where was he before he created heaven? Who cares? Who cares? What we are saying is that as at the time that God decided to reveal himself to us, he told us that he lives in heaven. If he was living somewhere before he started living in heaven, who cares? Now me, I live in Jos. Are you with me? Are you with me? But I started living in Jos about, let's say, 23 years ago. All right? But I'm more than 23 years old. It's like me now saying, I live in Jos. Then somebody says, no, how can you live in Jos? You're more than 40 years old. And you only started living in Jos 23 years ago. How can you live in Jos? If you live in Jos, where were you before 23 years ago? Are you okay? Are you okay? God says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Then you now say, no, God, you are not in heaven. Like, is everything fine at home? This heaven that you see here, when you go out, in Hebrew, in the Hebrew culture, is called heaven. But then you know that the angel that they sent to bring message to Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, all right, you remember that angel? You know that the angel was not held in the sky here. This one that you can see with your eyes. It was in the spirit that they held him. But it was not the particular place from which they sent him that they held him. So, just for graphic understanding purposes, when that angel left the presence of God as the messenger with a message for Daniel, and he was coming down, I'm just saying for the purpose of illustration. So let's say he was coming down to Daniel. He left where he was. And then as he was coming, before he penetrated into the physical world, he ran into a roadblock. And living in the south, you are not, at least this one you will know, even though you are not a villager, you know roadblock. He ran into a roadblock. And the person that was manning that roadblock was a prince of Persia. They held him there for 21 days. It was Michael that came and traced him to that cell room and discomfited that. He destroyed that roadblock, fought them, and now went and took that guy out of detention. The guy was detained in the spirit. Was a good angel. Was detained by bad angels. Because in the spirit there is good and bad, and there's also hierarchy. That's why the Bible says that when Michael was striving with the body of Satan, he did not bring, with the body of Moses, he didn't bring real accusation. What did he do? He said, the Lord rebuke you. He executed that one by divine fiat. Leave it. When that angel said, the first day you started praying, I was sent. So they held him in a jail room for 21 days. Michael came and delivered him out of jail. And Michael didn't say, you suffered enough. Go and rest. Let me take the message. Say, continue from where you stopped. Michael went back. So it was still that angel that came. God is tenacious like that. Then the angel said, when I'm going back now. So, if you can spare a prayer for that angel. Let's hope that he made it home eventually. Because when he had Daniel's answer, Daniel was praying for 21 days before they went to release him. You know, after Daniel has collected his answer, he's not going to be interceding for the angel anymore. The angel said he's still going to meet them. What I'm trying to explain to you is that there's a second heaven. Are you with me? That's why they say we are seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. So there is the realm of principalities and powers. We are far above that realm legally. That's where we are seated. The whole point of what I'm doing to you tonight is this. All that priesthood that people used to go and consult, and they would tell them, if you want to win this ticket, Can you do it? They'll say, Baba, whatever it is. Can you? They say, Baba, whatever it is. Okay. Now, a lot of these days, they don't even use only animals anymore, right? These days, they use human sacrifices. Sometimes, some of those, your honorables, they bathe them in the blood of virgins. Every night, by midnight, for 7 days. And he will not miss his appointment. Because he knows that his life depends on it. Back in the day when things were not this, well, even, yeah, you know, there are different levels, different sacrifices. So sometimes back at home in those days, you will go and meet, they will tell you, in order to do this, you need this one, you need this one, you need this one. They tell you that you need the teeth of a cobra. They'll tell you that you need the hair, one strand of the hair of a bush baby. Have you seen bush baby before? Then there's one bird in my place. They used to call Akpadede. They'll tell you that you need Akpadede that died of natural causes. That means you need to be walking the bush until you just find Akpadede that has lived out all his life and just died naturally. Then you now say, Baba, how can I? Then Baba now said that where we have boys, that's what they do. They know how to do this thing. So you monetize it. You give the money to the boys. Then the boys will help you source those materials. Then Baba will put those materials together and form a concoction. Then they will now give it to you and tell you that every morning when you wake up, use this, your finger, to touch it and put it on your tongue and say these things. Then they'll tell you what to say. You must do that every morning for the next 14 days. And I say, yes, Baba. Yes, Baba. This Baba that you are taking instruction from didn't go to primary school. You know why? The reason you are taking instruction from him is because this Baba is alive to a world to which you are dead. This Baba's eyes are opened in the spirit. Meanwhile, as a priest in darkness, he does all of his businesses in the second heaven. Yes, that is the realm of negative supernatural. The negative spiritual is their place of abode, is the second heaven. So all those diviners and all of those necromancers and all of those witches, everything that they do, their possibilities is tied to the second heaven. But you know, the Bible says that that which is from above is above all. There is a place that is higher than the second heaven. You are seated in heavenly places, no doubt, but it is far above principalities and powers. So, if a man that only knows life in the second heaven can bring such damage to bear in the physical world, do you know the immense possibilities and the immense grant that we have in the heaven of heavens? If only we know how to execute our priesthood in the world of God. This was Adam's original duty on the face of the earth. God put Adam in charge of the earth and God went on sabbatical. Why? Because Adam had a spirit, and by Adam's spirit, Adam was able to continue to maintain contact with headquarters. The operation in the New Testament is called God is the one at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, so that the things that you naturally will to do are consistent with the eternal purposes of God. It is not externalized to you. God is at work within you. And that working of God is so that you can will and you can do according to his good purposes and according to his good pleasure. The priesthood of man is so that man will become the bridge between God and the physical creation, so that that thing that God began in Genesis before God made man. You know that God was creating every day for 6 days. The last act of God's creative enterprise was man. After God made man, after God formed man and breathed into his nostrils and formed the woman and put them in that garden, the Bible says he put the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. God brought everything to man to name. Man named them. Whatever man called every animal or every creature, that was the name thereof. I've taught all of that. It just simply meant that it was the name of every creature that man called every creature. Are you with me? It was the name of every creature that man called every creature. It means God was not ignorant of the names of the creatures. He wanted to see what man we call it. It was the quality assurance test to tell man that when I leave, you will not do any different than I would have done if I was here. You are a competent representative. I have formed you. I am putting you here to be the continuity of something that I began. Because I want to go on Sabbath. I'm taking a break. I'm going on sabbatical. Many of you are students, so you know a sabbatical. God took a sabbatical after he made man. Why? Not because God intended that project should stop. It was because God had found what? A regent. God had found a deputy. God had found a steward. God had found the continuity of his activity. Can you imagine that? That something that Almighty God began, Almighty God now intends that you will be the continuity of what he had begun. How would you ever be able to do that? Priesthood. By priesthood. By priesthood. Because you have a spirit, you can pry into the word of God and say, what is God's mind on this matter? And you can probe into the mind of the majesty that dwells in light that no man can approach. Because you have a spirit, there's something inside of you that came out of God. By that, you can explore the realms and the depths of God. Oh, the depth, both of the riches and of the wisdom of God. How unfathomable are his paths. But there's a spirit on your inside that searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. So by your spirit, you are able to navigate the world of God. And then you can pry into the purposes of God and you can see them. And then because you have a body, you can enforce it on the earth. So even though God is not here, everything God should have been doing is what you are doing. And then it looks like, but you are just here. No, you are not only here. Even though you are here, you are also in touch with there. The priest is that person that has a unique privilege and competence to straddle two worlds. That's why people consult Babalawo. It's because they believe that the Babalawo is not just a creature of the earth. He's also a creature of the spirit. So Babalawo will check. He will conjure his whatever. When he does that thing, he goes into that realm. And then he interfaces with demons. And demons will talk to him and give him feedback. Then he will come and tell you that, the way this thing is, how is he knowing it? It's not because he's smart. It's because he's alive to the second heaven. When you became born again, you came alive to the third heavens. If only now you know how to walk things from that world, you would realize that the economy of Zion will not suffer loss in your hand. That the territory that God has placed you inside, you will be a competent representative, that God will not be missed in your space. Because what God would have been doing if he was there, you will be doing it because you are there. So Adam looked. He said, you are lion. And then God showed him the ledger. He said, you see, you got it right. This is lion. Brought giraffe. Said, what will you call this one? Adam looked at it and said, you are giraffe. God brought the ledger for that one and showed him. He said, you see, you got it right. This is giraffe. And you called it giraffe. Adam became a wonder to himself. So you mean I have the mind of God? Yes. On the basis of this, God told him, I can go on break. Don't worry. I will not be missed. Everything I would have done if I was here, you will be doing it when I am gone. That was the confidence with which God went on break. Went on sabbatical. And can I tell you before we pray tonight? God is not back yet. Yes. God is not back. Even after man fell. Instead of God returning to say, give me my thing, let me continue by myself. You know what God did? God decided to redeem man, to restore man, to original default setting, so that man can continue from where man stopped. Because this break that God has taken, God is not coming back from it. God. That's why you will never find. You see, the Bible said the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know, there is no day. Evening and the morning were the seventh day. That day has not ended. God, that seventh day that God went on break, we have not had evening and morning is the seventh day. God is still on sabbatical. Say, hey, but man has fallen. Let's go back. God said, no, we are not going back. We will bring him back. That journey to restoration, to original Edenic setting, begins at the new birth. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. If you are born again under the sound of my voice, I'd like for you to know that one of the native responsibilities that you have is priesthood. Priesthood. Because you are now a creature of two worlds. You are expected to see the shape of things in the realm of reality. And you are expected to be an enforcement officer in the realm of the natural. Tonight, oh God, take me to the place. Take me to the place. The purpose of this weekend is that we might become intelligent in light. That we might become intelligent in the things that are our own by the Spirit of God. No longer that we might be babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. Take me to the place. Ailene Same. I have just 5 minutes, and I want you to use 3 of those 5 minutes to pray. Make me such a man. Make me such a man. Make me such a man. Eyes that see, ears that hear, a spirit that is alive. Make me such a man. If unbelievers can be educated in darkness, I must be educated in light. Take me to the place. If diviners, if SMOs, if necromancers, if they are intelligent in darkness, why should I be a novice in light? I've been granted opportunity to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here am I. I'm tired of a bound existence. Here am I. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Teach me to mount up with wings like eagles. Teach me to soar on wings like eagles. Teach me how to live from the heights. Teach me how to live from the heights. I don't want to live from the valley. I want to live from the heights. Take me to the place. You have 2 minutes. You have 2 minutes. I cannot continue like this. I am too natural. I cannot continue like this. I am too earthbound. I cannot continue like this. That which is from above is from above all. Oh
whatsoever is born of God, overcome it, overcome it, overcome it, overcome it. That is my story. I overcome. Deliver me. Deliver me from an empty life. Deliver me from the mundane. Deliver me from the casual. Bring me to the realm of reality, oh God. You have 1 more minute. You have 1 more minute. You have 1 more minute. There will be answers. There will be answers. There will be answers. You have 30 seconds and there will be answers. That see, ears that hear, hearts that perceive. In the next 2 minutes, a holy ceremony is about to take place. Allocations. Allocations. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the next 90 seconds, God will distribute eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that perceive. If you're under the sound of my voice and you are not born again, you have no part in this allocation. This is a thorough family affair. You're under the sound of my voice tonight. You are not born again. You want to make it right with Jesus quickly. You want to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Take me as I am. Make me a child of God. Make me a child of God. I'm a sinner. But tonight I confess, have mercy upon me. Because in a moment of time, a family meeting is taking place. And there will be allocations. There will be allocations. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, wow. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you lift up your right hand if you don't mind? I beheld an angel lubricating the wheels of the lives of men and of women. And I said, "What is it?" And the Lord said, "It is a treatment for rust, for rust, for rust, for rust. As many as are rusty, God brings lubrication. As many as are dim, God gives you spiritual sight." Leave him, leave him, leave him. "As many as are dull of hearing, God activates your ear online on sight. And your heart again will begin to pick the frequencies of the one that bellows from between the cherubim. In the next 1 minute, in the next 1 minute, the hand of the Lord will bring visitation." Kneel down. Kneel down. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I want to help you. Lift up your right hand as I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's a combined service because I'm out of time. There's an angel with oil. 2-3 people receiving massive lubrication in the place of rust and drag. There'll be ease. There'll be ease. And the sound of the friction of the moving parts will end. The oil that lubricates, the oil that lubricates. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. That oil will lubricate and bring a restoration. A restoration. There are two persons under the sound of my voice. Your eyes will open. Your eyes, your eyes, your eyes will open. There are three of you, your ears will open. It's a combined service. And the hand of the Lord is stretched forth. In the next 13 seconds, in the next 13 seconds, oil, eye salve, ears. Spirit of the living God. Oh yes. Oh yes. No more will you be confused. No more will you be confused. There are two of you under the sound of my voice. The Lord says to say to you, no more will you be confused. Your heart will indict a good matter. You will know of the things you have made as touching the King. On sight, online. No more. Aha. 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 Seven persons, seven persons. There are seven of you. The hand is going to come heavy. The oil is going to come fiery. upon you, seven of you, the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord comes upon you now. There's a married woman under the sound of my voice online. And there's an impartation of grace that is coming upon you. And right now you're going to notice a sensation from your head. And before I'm done praying, your whole body will start to quake. God says, I make all things new. Woman, God says to say to you, I make all things new. That's the anointing that is coming upon you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father. Father. That angel is touching two people. Two people. There are two people. Oil. Oil is being poured. Oil is being poured. There are two people. Oil is being poured. 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 One of them is a brother. Oil is being poured. Oil is being poured. And the friction comes to an end. Lubrication. Lubrication. Yes, now. Now, in the next 3 seconds, in the next 3 seconds, I see that oil saturating your entire system. Jesus. 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 Young man, your help has come. Yes. Yes. Let it overwhelm you, one. Let it overwhelm you, two. Yes. Let it overwhelm you, three. Aha, aha, aha.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.